CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bass with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We turn to the Koreas, this time South Korea. A headline: South Korea starts ship-launched ballistic missile development. We welcome David Maxwell, our colleague watching the Koreas for a long time. The reason we are careful about it is that North Korea is a non-transparent state. On the other hand, South Korea is an ally of the United States, most recently an ally of Japan, and a bulwark of the defense of Asia from the Chinese aggressors. David is the vice president of the Center for Asia-Pacific Strategy. He's also a senior fellow at the Global Peace Foundation. David, a very good evening to you. It is fresh for me to learn about South Korea weapon development. Is this Yoon? Is this a new day in the Blue House? Good evening to you.
Oh, good evening, and great to be here. Well, certainly President Yoon is embarking on military developments to enhance military capabilities, but really, this has been a long-term ongoing process, really going back to the start of the OPCON transition process. And the primary focus of the OPCON transition process was for South Korea to develop independent warfighting capabilities. And these capabilities are, of course, very advanced and designed for the defense of South Korea, but also, as in this weapon system, for offense against North Korea, to be able to strike deep into North Korea with a precision munition. So this is really enhancing the alliance, enhancing South Korean capabilities, and really providing a capability that can target North Korea anywhere within the territory of North Korea.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Dave, we've seen South Korean weapons development across a broad range of sectors. So, for instance, talk of a stealth fighter, brand new surface ships, you name it. Is this something that South Korea just doesn't trust the U.S. to supply? Because they're building the same things that we actually have, and probably ours are more advanced. Why are they doing this?
Well, I think for two reasons. One is to enhance self-defense, and I think we have welcomed this. We have welcomed the development of their capabilities. And as you correctly note, they are interoperable with U.S. systems, which also goes to support South Korea as a partner in the arsenal of democracy, meaning that they are selling advanced military equipment to like-minded democracies around the world. See the tank deal in Poland, and South Korea has produced a state-of-the-art tank that that Poland is going to buy, assuming they get through the political process there. And they have been developing fighters and all kinds of weapon systems that are very good. But also, in fact, sometimes they're cheaper than U.S. weapons, which is good for some of the middle countries who can't afford to buy advanced U.S. weaponry. But because they're interoperable with the U.S., they're well suited for the middle countries of NATO and other like-minded democracies around the world.
I'm trying to judge, David, the level of concern in South Korea and its military towards the repeated threats from Beijing. And really, more than Beijing, Moscow, Tehran, Beijing. Is there a sense of urgency as they develop these weapon systems? Are they looking to be more martial than, say, a decade ago?
Oh, well, yes, but I think the priority threat, the existential threat, comes from North Korea. And I think, you know, South Korea continues to try to walk a tightrope, I think, between China and the United States. But I think the Yoon administration is a full partner in a free and open Indo-Pacific. But politically, they will continue to walk that tightrope. Obviously, Russia and North Korea, the growing cooperation and closeness between the two is a threat. Certainly, Russia transferring advanced technology to North Korea will enhance their capabilities, and also, you know, supporting them with oil and also diplomatically at the UN. So I think that, you know, South Korea recognizes that it is surrounded and it, you know, it depends on alliances. And the U.S. also depends on alliances. And I think, you know, you mentioned the trilateral cooperation of South Korea, Japan, and the U.S., which was a real breakthrough this summer at Camp David. This is really necessary, I think, to enhance the national security and national prosperity of all three countries facing these threats from the axis of totalitarians.
I'm searching for a way of understanding how South Korea regards the recent rapprochement between Moscow and Pyongyang, if that's what it is. You mentioned the transfer of technology, but there's also commodity sales, oil, and all of that would argue that North Korea is in a stronger position than it was before this happened. Is that perception in Seoul as well, that North Korea is getting stronger because of its alliance with Moscow?
Well, yes, I think that's certainly a concern, but we also must remember how the dreadful conditions that still exist inside North Korea, and it will take a long time of aid, of development of food, foodstuffs that they need, not only to feed their people, but to feed their military, and their military, has a long way to go to reach the advanced capabilities of South Korea. You know, other than nuclear weapons and its ICBMs, the North Korean military is really no match for South Korea. It is the nuclear weapons that really give North Korea the ability to both conduct its political warfare and blackmail diplomacy, but also have a military capability that could devastate not only South Korea, but Japan, and even, of course, now our concern that with their ICBM, they could target the United States. But I think South Korea is a more advanced military capability than North Korea. But I think they recognize that this help that it is getting from Russia does make some improvement, but I don't think it's yet a game changer.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Dave, if we go back decades, we found that, North Korea has continually threatened the South. The South Koreans have sort of become used to those threats and now take them in their stride. What do the South Koreans now think about North Korea's threats to use nuclear weapons against the South? Do they take that in stride, or is there a new perception of danger?
Yeah, I think, it's a double-edged sword. I think that, South Koreans have been kind of numbed by the success of deterrence for the last seven decades. We have deterred war. Despite the tyranny of proximity, the massive artillery that's on the DMZ that can range Seoul, the Korean people have demonstrated the ability to just carry on with their lives and to make a successful South Korea. I mean, the miracle on the Han has been developed under the guns of North Korea. So they've been able to do that. However, I do think that North Korea's missile tests of 2022, some almost 70 missile tests, and the continued observations of their developing nuclear program do cause concern in the South. And of course, we see that manifested in calls for South Korea to develop their own nuclear weapons or to request the return of U.S. tactical nuclear weapons. And I think that illustrates some of the growing fear. But I think for the most part, the Koreans have successfully developed their country under the threat from the threat of North Korea. They've done it despite that threat. And I think they'll continue to press on.
The defense industrial base is a big topic in the United States and elsewhere. Is it a topic, and we have less than a minute, it just came to me as you were talking about development. Is there a comparable conversation in Seoul about awakening or expanding our defense industrial base to produce weaponry?
Well, I think South Korea is pretty well expanded. Hanwha, a major defense contractor, they're producing 155 millimeter ammunition sufficient to backfill the U.S. supplies that have been sent to Ukraine. So South Korea has a very good defense industrial capability, and it is continuing to grow, as we are seeing in this example of a sea-launched ballistic missile to target North Korea.
David Maxwell is a senior fellow at the Global Peace Foundation. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.